one live now for the long opening. Wrong one. Hello there.
Hey, Jim. Hey, like Jimmy's that. Already in the chat.
I saw that. Jimmy's already. I saw it on the Facebook thing. Jimmy's already out. Like, wow. I was going to actually come up from the bottom and go, hello there. Maybe next week. Maybe this. Maybe when Obi-Wan starts, that's how we'll both open the show. We'll just kind of come up and go.
It's a lot of coordination, man. It's a lot of work.
We're not going to do it at the same time. But hey, everybody, welcome to your Friday Night Lights / Smallville rewatch podcast. No? That's worth a shot. That's worth a shot.
I don't think we need to go back that far.
We could.
We had a few weeks. We didn't. You might have rewatched. I've been busy watching all sorts of other stuff. But
actually, anyway. I will surprise you.
Oh, good. I'm excited.
I will surprise you.
I'm excited about it.
Thank you, everyone. Hello to everyone in the chat. Thank you for coming. We are going to talk about Doctor Strange a little bit later in the show so that we can actually get some news out of the way. And we don't make the people that haven't seen Doctor Strange run away. Maybe the people that have seen it are also going to run away. Well, we'll figure that out in a little bit. I actually called it Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Sadness. But again, we'll get into that later. Jack, how was your 2 weeks? You had a busier 2 weeks than I did.
I did. I've had a crazy 2 weeks. I had concerts to go to, and I don't even remember what was the other week.
It's been
a long time. I might have been binging Better Call Saul. I don't remember. That's come back since the last time we were on. Fear the Walking Dead's back.
Yeah.
I know you're excited about that. No? All right.
Totally.
Yeah, it's still a get the AMC Plus package because you get it a week early and it's great.
Oh.
Had a good Mother's Day. Happy belated Mother's Day to everybody.
Yes. Happy Mother's Day to
hope you found your own geek spots on Mother's Day.
Kind of.
Good. Great. that's about it. Soccer and that stuff and getting ready to go on vacation next week.
Ooh.
Yeah, there'll be another high. You can bring in somebody. Bringing a few people to do another Doctor Strange talk next week.
Oh, I don't know. I definitely will bring someone in to chit chat with.
I missed Free Comic Book Day Saturday, Dylan. I heard there was some good stuff that came out, but the weather was not cooperative up here.
No, it's been a really crappy like 2 weeks of weather. It feels like.
Yeah, it hasn't been good.
And it's going to rain this coming weekend. Again.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how about you, Frank? What have you been up to?
I actually have been watching TV.
Really?
I have been watching TV. Let me see. I've done Billions. I am in the last 40 minutes of Ozark. I got all the way up. Like, I was watching it on and off while I was working today.
You couldn't make it through the last 40?
No, it got busy. Like, I couldn't. I wanted to, like, pay it. Like, that's not a show that I can just listen to in the background. I got to, like, pay attention to it.
I had it done by the Saturday.
Yeah, no, night. I couldn't.
It came out.
It's too heavy for me. It was too heavy for me to go all at once with the rain. And it was just, no.
Got it.
So I got 40 minutes left. I'll finish that off this week. Yes, this week.
Okay.
I caught all the way up on the Mayan season 2.
What are they on now? Season 4?
3. Okay. I'm right there. This season, they're going to fight the Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, I already heard who's coming back.
I did see that on an Instagram post, so I haven't watched the episodes yet. But Tig, played by Kim Coates, and Chibs, played by, I forget his name, but the Scotsman with the scars, with the Joker scars.
Yes, yeah.
They're coming back. I finished all my Star Trek, which I'll mention that in a couple minutes.
Oh, nice. It's what came out, Strange New World?
Strange New World and okay. The end of Picard, which I'll
season
I'll
two.
Season two, yes. I'll gloss over that real fast, but not cool. Not for a couple minutes. And then Saturday night, I had a night. Hadn't had a night like this in a while.
Oh, yeah?
We did. I was bored. Ange was bored. So I was like, all right, how about I bring the laptop over and we mess around with the karaoke game. Well, not game, but the karaoke program. We went power ballad 80s karaoke.
Nice.
Until 4 o'clock in the morning.
That's late.
Yes. That was fun.
Yeah, I didn't do that.
No. I slept.
I took my wife out for Mother's Day to Del Frisco's. So yeah, we did.
I saw that. I, Dylan, don't want to hear about your Flames because my Flyers can't even get the first overall pick. So your Flames can suck it. and then we had the NFL draft and we had nothing that we care about.
It was a busy few weeks.
And then, you know, to start off the new stuff, we had a couple of famous comic book people pass away, right?
We did. George Perez, who, if you don't know, George Perez is the artist that drew the Teen Titans to start, the new Teen Titans. He was the one that designed what, like, Cyborg looks like as a character, what Starfire looks like.
Is that the picture that I sent you that I had the comic book of? Is it that Teen Titans or no?
No. The okay. picture you sent me of, well, yes, it's that Teen Titans. But, so you sent me a picture of a... There was a several like promotional comic books they did that promoted like tooth decay or healthy eating or something.
Oh,
and they weren't allowed to license Robin.
That's right. You said
so that. It's the Teen Titans, mm-hmm. which was at that time it was Changeling or Beast Boy, mm-hmm. Starfire, Wonder Girl, Robin. I don't think Kid Flash was in those, and Raven. And so in these promotional comics, they couldn't get Robin because he was licensed to like animated stuff.
Right.
So they had to create a new character. So they created this kid called the Protector. And he was only used in those things.
So now, bad.
A few years ago, when they did Heroes in Crisis, which was all these comic characters that were like B characters would go to this place called Sanctuary and get self-help because they were depressed and had trouble dealing with things. And even like Superman and Wonder Woman would go do confessionals there. They randomly brought the Protector back in this series, Heroes in Crisis, and then they killed him by the end of the issue.
Wow.
But so back to George Perez, though.
Yes.
So George Perez also drew Crisis on Infinite Earths. He was the artist for that. One of his most amazing skill sets was he could draw these mosaics with hundreds of characters in super fine detail where you could still pick out all of your characters on these huge, like, two splash page things. And he was just vital to all the storylines from DC. He wrote and drew Wonder Woman when she was reinvented, going deep into the Greek myths and her Greek roots after Crisis on Infinite Earths. And he did that for, I think, close to 10 years. He wrote that series. But just a prolific, prolific comic artist and writer, and was still drawing. He's been sick. So about 2 years ago, he said, you know, I'm not going to take any more commissions, but I'm going to finish every commission that has been given to me.
Damn.
Because he knew he was dying and he wanted to do that for everybody. So, because he couldn't even really draw right at cons and things like that. So he was just doing signatures and taking like special requests, mm-hmm. and he completed all those. And sent those out. We lost him, and we lost Neil Adams.
Damn.
So Neil Adams, similar, just as prolific, was actually instrumental in Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster getting paid for being the creators of Superman.
Oh, shit, okay.
Because if you remember back when Christopher Reeve's Superman came out, they weren't even credited.
Right.
And they got no money for it. So he fought to get them money and credited from DC. So that their families were taken care of. He also was wrote some of the most iconic and drew some of the most iconic covers of Green Arrow and Green Lantern, like the cover where they found Speedy doing heroin back in the 70s.
Oh, neat.
And he wrote and drew the entire run of Green Arrow and Green Lantern, where they did like a buddy series where the two of them just like traveled the country together stopping crimes and stuff. And it was just like, you know, and that. And he wrote a lot of the iconic Batman stories from the 70s as well. A lot of the whole real reimagination of Batman for what we all knew as Batman in the 80s, with like the blue cape and the big yellow symbol. That was all Neil Adams.
I use him in the Arkham games when I unlock them.
Yeah, and he still was he was regularly doing Instagram posts up until like a couple days before he died. Oh, doing shit. Instagram lives and selling stuff and you know, all the time he was on there going live. So two big ones for the comic book world that created a lot of the characters and the visuals that we still see every day in the geek world.
That's a terrible shame. I know George Perez was 67. I didn't get how old Neil Adams was.
Like 80.
Damn.
Yeah.
So luckily, George Perez did get to see Crisis on the CW.
He did.
Lucky for him.
Yeah, I don't think he guest starred on it. Marv Wolfman, the guy that wrote it with him, did. Yeah, and he and Marv wrote, and they were doing Teen Titans at the time, and then they came over to Crisis.
Okay. Well, that's a shame. In the movie world.
Oh, movies.
Justin Lin. You know Justin Lin?
Oh, I don't.
Big-time director?
I don't. I feel like he's directed movies that you may be a fan of.
Fast and the Furious?
Mm. Did he direct, like, what? Which one? Like, Fast
like
and Furious
5 of
one?
Them. No, he directed, like, the last 5.
That's a lot.
I think he did Tokyo Drift, then took the Miami one off, and then, like, directed all the rest of them. And was set to do 10, Fast X, as it's being called.
Yeah, not Fast 10 your seatbelts.
No, that would have been such a missed opportunity. Oh, my God. Why isn't that the name of the movie?
I stole that from Mark Bernardin.
Oh, that's a great still. I would have taken credit for that. Not Mark Bernardin's not watching this podcast.
that's fair.
But so he walked off the set. Like a day or two after Vin Diesel posted a video picture with him where he looked a little bit uncomfortable in the picture. Apparently they got into some kind of argument about the script and the constant rewrites and Vin Diesel being an asshole on set. And he was just like, hey, I'm out. And he walked off. They got Louis Leterrier to come in.
I don't know that I know.
He directed Lewis. The Incredible Hulk.
Like the,
didn't look in
not the Ang Lee one, obviously, right? Like the Ed Norton obviously. One?
I think it was the Ed Norton one.
Oh, yeah. All right.
I
mean, that was a movie.
It was a movie. It's technically part of the
it's
technically
canon.
Part of the yeah, it's canon.
Look, we got the Abomination back in
let's see,
in
he
Shang-Chi.
Did oh, here we go. He did The Dark Crystal, Age of the Resistance. He directed 10 episodes of that.
Well, that's how many episodes there were.
Clash of the Titans in 2010.
Oh, that one.
2008's Incredible Hulk. He doesn't have a big list here. Transporter 2 and Transporter. So, okay.
All right. I like Transporter movies. Okay. The Clash of the Titans one was good. It was no OG Clash of the Titans.
Yeah. I never actually saw it because of that.
The original or the remake?
The remake.
Okay.
I saw the original many, many times.
Okay, good.
The Fast and the Furious news is kicking the viewers off. The budget has reportedly soared to over $300 million. With most of the cast, like most of the main cast, earning between 9 and 10 figures. Vin Diesel earning way, way, way more than that. And then them bringing on Brie Larson, Charlize, and Jason Momoa.
Let me do this math. Hold on. 9 and 10 figures.
That's what it said in the little article I read.
I feel like that's too many, because 10 figures is $1 billion.
A billion? It's not a million? What's a million? 6?
7.
7. So maybe that's definitely got to be off. That's way, 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 way off. So I guess Justin Lin is, he's staying on as a producer, so I guess he's still family.
That's probably in his contract regardless, because he worked in the world. Yeah, I heard him complain of Vin Diesel didn't even bother working out before showing up on set.
Yeah, I heard he's a little chubby too.
Mm.
That gives me hope that I can star in a Fast and the Furious franchise.
You will. Fast and Furious, like 2023, 2024.
That's like 5 years from now.
They will call you.
They will.
Yeah.
For you, you're a Doctor Who fan. We're getting a new Doctor.
We are, thank God, because the current I'm more excited for Russell T. Davies is gonna come in and run the show.
Well, the new Doctor's name, and I'm going off the phonetic spelling because
we're so proud of you.
No way I was getting this on my own. Shuti Gatwa. He's a Scottish-born actor best known for Netflix's Sex Education. Apparently, he's a really good actor.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet. This inspires me to possibly watch that. I've heard good things about that show. So I might watch it to get a little bit of background on him. I said that about Jodie Whittaker, too, and never got around to watching Broadchurch. But, I'm excited for it to see what direction they go with a new Doctor. And just to see good storytelling again. They got so hung up with Jodie Whittaker and trying to tell a reimagining of everything Doctor Who.
Right.
That they really just dug themselves a hole they could never get out of.
I want to go backwards for a second and tell Dylan that he's wrong, because Groot is his best role. Because literally, that's all he says. I didn't even realize he was Iron Giant. Didn't Iron Giant not talk?
I don't know. I thought it was based off just Vin Diesel, and they just used him as a model.
Right. That's Groot. So the new Doctor, I guess that's what? Christmas time is when they do the switcheroo usually?
It's usually New Year's with this Doctor, because they moved from Christmas to New Year's. They did a great Easter story. Well, they could have had a great Easter story this year, but it was Jodie Whittaker and Stephen, what's his name? So it was not great.
No,
but it's been New Year's the last few years, which is fine. Yeah. I don't know if they'll wait till then or if we'll get it before that. The weird thing with Doctor Who is like a season usually takes them almost a year to film, and it's only like 8 episodes, maybe 10, because that's how long BBC seasons are. But yeah, it takes them a really long time to film a season.
All 2022 is season 14, so I guess.
I doubt that.
Yeah, no. Well, yeah. Who knows with the way COVID's been?
No, I'm just saying that they just started. They haven't started filming yet.
Oh. Okay, that makes
sense. And it's. I mean, maybe they'll tighten up the storytelling, be able to do it faster. Oh wow!
I didn't realize that was all there.
That's that. Dylan going deep on his Iron Giant lore,
right? Right? Vin Diesel, Jennifer Aniston, Christopher McDonald. Isn't Christopher McDonald Shooter McGavin?
Yes.
Yeah. See, I know my actors.
I thought you were going to say, wasn't he the Doobie Brothers? I was concerned.
Nope. Cobra Kai, season 5, December 31st. No.
Yeah. What?
They moved it back. They moved it back to September 9th.
Up. Moved it up.
Yeah, whatever. Up, back, over, sideways. It's coming earlier.
Well, they had to. Netflix is hemorrhaging subscribers.
Yeah, they need to do something fast.
They had their first subscriber loss since they started.
Their stock is going a little bit down, too.
Well, look, I love when huge corporations think that perpetual growth is possible. But it's not, because at some point, everybody's subscribed that's going to subscribe to your service or got it that's going to get it.
Netflix reported its first subscriber loss in more than a decade, dropping 200,000 subscribers in the first quarter of 2022, followed by a 35% stock price drop.
Yeah.
That's big.
200,000 is really not many.
Well, didn't this happen just about when they said they were going to start messing with people sharing passwords again?
Like that. Wasn't related to that. I feel like
that comes up a lot with these streaming services.
I think it was that they haven't – I mean, well, they had Ozark, but I don't know how big of a hit that actually is. So they haven't had – it could have been because of the second season of Bridgerton being kind of shitty.
Okay. Let's I am 40 minutes away from the Ozark finale. So let's not spoil that for Frank. He's done a good job of avoiding that.
So let me put it this way. So they had 221 million paid subscribers.
And only 200,000 left?
Yeah. I really don't think that's bad, right?
Then why would the stock go down 35%? That's a huge drop in a stock, right?
That's what I'm saying. Like, at some point, you got to accept the fact that you can't keep growing. Like, you might have a down quarter, but I think 35% is a little excessive. But they are starting to hit the wall of, like, you know, they can't keep doing new shows to get people.
Right. And they're canceling shows.
Because people are already there.
Right.
Well, that's because their costs are outrageous.
Yeah.
Well, and they're actually canceling things after one season now.
I saw there's a couple of things that got canceled. I did. And I know this isn't on Netflix, but Saved by the Bell isn't coming back for its next season.
Yeah, I didn't watch season two. Season one was a slog to get through. But it did get me to sign up for Peacock, which I still have.
I do still have Peacock. Yeah,
you do for your wrestling stuff.
I did. I watched wrestling last night. We don't need to talk about that.
But the Netflix, they canceled that Jupiter's Legacy, which had a lot of potential. Same thing, Archive 81. Like, both of those had a ton of potential for the next season.
Another streaming service that I know I do not pay for now, that we've gone back and forth about this, is I do not have Paramount Plus because I was not able to watch A Strange New World through Amazon. I actually had to go somewhere else to watch that. So A Strange New World is the Star Trek, the new Star Trek series that follows Captain Christopher Pike and the original Enterprise about 5 years or so before Kirk takes over. But they actually have Lieutenant Kirk on the Enterprise. So they've cast a young Kirk.
Who did they cast as a young Kirk?
I don't know the guy.
Oh, well, great.
I don't know the guy. But they do have the chief science officer. Her last name is Noonien Singh. She's a relation of one Khan Noonien Singh.
Oh.
Star Trek II fame of Khan.
They're both Star Trek IIs.
Yes. Yes. So the.
We might be talking about one of the Khans later on.
We might be.
All the Star Trek connections.
He wasn't a Khan. He definitely is in Strange New World, the person that we're going to talk about later on. He's actually Captain Christopher Pike. Spoiler.
You know that Doctor Strange was Khan, right?
Oh, crap. That's more of a tie-in. How did I even forget that? How did I forget that? Because that movie stunk. But that's okay. That's okay. Thank you for Jesus. Wow. So real fast, I'll touch on the Star Trek Picard season two finale. Now, because of all the COVID regulations that had been in place in the past, they filmed 2 and 3 back to back. So
filmed 100 years ago. So Picard's still a young man.
Picard is still a young man. They stopped. They finished season two at 7 o'clock one night and started season three at 7 o'clock the next morning. Like, they went right in. I'm not going to get into all the nitty gritty of it, but I know there's a lot of people that have that like Star Trek, didn't like the first season or the second season, really, and the direction they went.
How did that happen?
I personally thought the second season was really, 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 really good.
That's a lot of reallys.
It was. And now I'm going to spoil the very end of it if you haven't seen it.
I have not.
Q, who made a return, John DeLancey, Q and Picard have this very touching emotional goodbye at the end of the show.
Mm.
And then we get a cameo at the end of the show. We get a cameo of the only Next Generation cast member living in the series, not actual human being alive, that isn't coming back for season three. So season three is bringing all the Next Generation bridge crew back, basically.
Mm.
Except young Wesley Crusher.
Yeah.
But in season, I forget what season it was in the Next Generation, Wesley goes off to become what's called a traveler. He has cosmic powers and he can move through space and time.
I was a fan of Next Generation. I don't remember.
Yes. Wesley became a traveler. It wasn't, they didn't show any episodes with him doing any traveling. He just, like, they showed the traveler.
Yeah.
And Wesley helped do some stuff. And at the end, they were like, he's got these powers. He can be a traveler. And Wesley was like, all right, bye, everybody. I'm going to go be a traveler.
Oh.
So Will Wheaton had a cameo at the end of Star Trek Picard as his character, Wesley Crusher, or formerly known as Wesley Crusher. He's now a traveler. And he takes one of the characters to go travel space and time.
That's exciting.
It was neat. It was a good send-off. It really was. It was a really good send-off.
Did you know that the character that plays Q, his parent or mother, I believe, used to be a director at Curtis Institute in Philadelphia?
No, I didn't know that.
Because when he came to FanCom, he then stopped by, or Fan Expo, he stopped by the Curtis Institute the next day.
Oh, no shit.
So one of my friends is one of the archivists there and posted a picture of him just hanging out.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I regret not getting a picture with him. He's one of my favorites.
I don't even know if we've had a podcast since. Oh, we did.
We actually haven't. Hi, Jack. Thanks for dropping in.
He heard you start talking about Star Trek and his ears got pointed.
He did. All right. So before I go over to the DC stuff, I'm going to run through this list I told you about.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited for this.
Okay. List. This is actually a pretty neat list. This is 23 actors who weren't the first choice for a role, but nailed it. So we're not going to spend a lot of time on the roles.
Are we going to determine if they nailed it or not?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay.
We get
both choices, right?
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you who was originally looked at and who played.
All right.
Okay.
I'm in.
And this is a BuzzFeed thing. BuzzFeed has great lists.
They do. They're a list company.
The Devil Wears Prada. The original choice was Rachel McAdams.
Okay.
Do you think she would have?
Then went to Anne Hathaway?
She was the ninth choice.
But wow. Yes. Well, that was right after Mean Girls, right? So Rachel McAdams was the shit.
Yeah.
It was fine. I've never seen it, to be honest with you. Not really my wheelhouse.
Me either. Here's one that really kind of made me blink a little bit. Do you know that Vin Diesel was not the original choice for Dominic Toretto?
I did not know that.
Neither did I. Do you know who Universal Pictures wanted? I could give you 25 guesses and you won't get this.
Giovanni Ribisi.
No, Timothy Oliphant.
Oh.
Right. Right.
Is Dom Toretto?
As Dominic Toretto. You can't see it now.
No.
It would be in a totally different movie.
I wouldn't have been able to see it back then. I would never think of it. It would have had to be a different name.
But that's what they say. So Sister Act was created with Bette Midler in mind.
Knew that.
And she passed and they changed it all around and brought in Whoopi. And then the movie became a smash hit.
Yeah, it was great. Great movie.
I enjoyed it. I totally enjoyed it.
Saw it in the theater for sure.
Do you remember in Titanic, the character, the unsinkable Molly Brown?
Played by Kate, the Misery.
Close. Kathy Bates.
Kathy Bates.
Originally, Reba McEntire had the role.
Oh, that would have been great.
I think she would have killed that role.
Yeah. I would have taken Reba.
Yeah. HBO first offered the role of Carrie Bradshaw to Dana Delaney.
She would have been fine.
She turned it down for fear of being pigeonholed because she had done a movie called Live Nude Girls with Kim Cattrall that was somewhat similar. And then they ended up cast in Horseface.
Yeah, and she was in China Beach. She was already past China Beach. Was she China Beach?
Yeah. Nah, I don't know.
Great.
In Friends World, Courtney Cox originally was to play Rachel Green.
Right, I knew that.
And then she realized she wasn't right for the role, and then they ended up giving it to Jennifer Aniston, and she took Monica. Here's a fun one. Do you know who was originally offered the role of Wolverine but turned it down?
Tom Cruise.
Russell Crowe.
Oh, I did. I do remember hearing that.
Yeah.
Because they were convinced after the animated series that he had to be Australian.
Right. Dougray Scott was actually cast, but had to back out due to scheduling conflicts with Mission Impossible 2.
Yeah, he was. He would have been great. Yeah. He was a little
Russell Crowe wouldn't have.
He felt old back then, though. Dougray Scott.
Oh yeah, yeah. Dougray, thank you.
He did fine when he popped on Batwoman for a year or two.
Who was he on Batwoman? Was he the dad?
He was the dad.
He was the dad. Okay. Right before Hugh Jackman was set to film X-Men 2, he was offered the role of James Bond in Casino Royale.
Mm.
But he turned the role down because he had no say in the script.
Wait, they offered an Australian James Bond?
They offered an Australian James Bond.
That seems shady. I don't know if I buy that.
And he had no say in the script, so he said, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, I don't think I buy that one.
I don't know. Here's another one that's weird. Daniel Craig was
offered... Wait, hold on. That also says... So wait, Casino Royale for X2?
It was going to be... He was... Yeah.
That can't be
right. Right before he was to film X2, he was offered the role of James Bond at Casino Royale.
That can't be right. Casino Royale came out like 6 years later. Eight years later.
I mean...
Pierce Bronson was still like heavy into... I gotta look now.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Look. Go ahead. We're going. This list is good.
Daniel Craig was also offered the lead role in Thor, but he turned it down in order to devote himself to the Bond franchise.
Oh.
Chris Hemsworth read for the part, but he was removed from the running without a screen test. His younger brother, Liam, actually got a screen test.
Okay.
After Marvel decided not to cast Liam, Chris's agent convinced Kevin Feige to let his client audition one more time. And here we are, 10 years later, we have our four.
So World Is Not Enough came out in 99.
Right.
Which I think was his last Bond movie. Die Another Day was 2002.
Okay.
Casino Royale was 2006.
So when was X2?
X2 was in 2003. So all right,
I could have
barely
been.
close, but it was another 4 years till Casino Royale hit.
Yeah, when ABC picked up Scandal, Shonda Rhimes wanted to cast Connie Britton of Friday Night Lights fame.
As Liv.
Hold on. What does it say? However, Rhimes responded, it would be except Olivia Pope is black. All the network's top choices were white, but Rhimes wanted to cast a black lead on a crisis.
So it was for Liv.
Smith.
Okay.
Right. So finally, though, he went to Kerry Washington.
Who's great in that role. That was great. Connie Britton wouldn't have been able to pull that off the same way.
No, but that made, and I didn't know this, Kerry Washington was the first black woman to lead a drama series in 37 years. So there's that, too.
And that freed Connie Britton up, I think, to do American Horror Story at that point instead.
Sounds about right. Noah Calhoun from The Notebook.
Nope. Don't even know.
He was originally supposed to be George Clooney.
Oh.
And then ended up being Ryan Gosling.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, that George Clooney and Rachel McAdams would have been weird.
Yeah, a little bit. Do you know who was supposed to be who was originally offered? You probably know this. Who was originally offered the role of Black Widow in Iron Man 2?
No.
Well, we have a tie to something later in the show with this.
Still Rachel McAdams.
No, close. Emily Blunt.
Oh, okay.
Yes, Emily Blunt.
I do remember that now.
Yes,
she turned it down for something.
Jack Nicholson was interested in The Godfather because he dreamed of working with Marlon Brando, but turned down the role of Michael Corleone for two reasons. He thought the part should be played by an Italian actor, and the script revealed that he wouldn't have any scenes with Brando. So that's that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
Paramount wanted to cast Ryan O'Neal or Robert Redford, but Francis Ford Coppola said, nope, Al Pacino.
Yeah.
George Lucas also offered Pacino the role of Han Solo in Star Wars, but Pacino declined because he didn't understand the script.
That's fair. Probably still doesn't understand the script.
He probably still doesn't understand the script. So we know about Will Smith and The Matrix.
Yep.
Brad Pitt took it and then declined.
I didn't know that.
Brad Pitt accepted the role but withdrew due to the exhaustion he experienced after making 7 years in Tibet. Leo DiCaprio considered taking it but decided he didn't want to star in another effects-heavy film. Val Kilmer declined to play both Neo and Morpheus, accepting a role at First Sight instead.
That was a good movie, At First Sight.
Yeah, I think I did actually see that. The Wachowskis and Warner Brothers sent Sandra Bullock the script, but she didn't think she suited the role. Nicolas Cage tried, but they said no. And then after a meeting with Keanu Reeves, it's all downhill after there.
Yeah.
We're almost done. You know about the Tom Selleck Indiana Jones thing?
Yep. Yep. There's a screen test out there, I think, if I remember right.
Emma Watson was reportedly cast as Mia in La La Land.
Okay.
She ended up choosing Beauty and the Beast instead. Good choice for her, huh?
La La Land won a lot of awards.
It did. With Emma Stone.
Yeah.
The CW originally pitched Gossip Girl with Ashley Olsen in mind for Blair Waldorf. However, the role went to Leighton Meester after she dyed her naturally blonde hair.
Nope.
No. Helen McCrory was cast as Bellatrix Lestrange in Harry Potter, but withdrew because of pregnancy.
Oh, that's fun. Helena Bonham Carter crushed that role.
Yeah, she did. Rob Lowe is offered the role of Derek Shepherd on Grey's Anatomy.
He would have been good. It wouldn't have made it. It wouldn't still be on the air.
No.
That's Rob Lowe has that effect on shows.
Yep. That role went to
Patrick Dempsey.
Tamsin Merchant was actually cast and filmed the unaired pilot of Game of Thrones as Daenerys Targaryen.
Oh.
Yeah. HBO didn't like it. And the creators wisely decided to reshoot it with Emilia Clarke. And then they went and ruined the show.
Was it wisely?
Yeah, she was great at it up until the last season. And then they ruined her.
Sure. Until she started banging her nephew.
Well, you know, shit happens in the game.
Yeah.
John Travolta declined the title role in Forrest Gump in favor of Pulp Fiction. I can't see him as Forrest Gump.
If you can't, then you did not see Phenomenon?
No, I didn't.
Because he plays a character who randomly becomes super intelligent, but that was not intelligent to begin with.
Gotcha.
It's a fascinating movie. It's great. It's him and Kira Sedgwick.
I think I've actually seen little parts of it, but I've
great,
never
great movie, Phenomenon. That was when his resurgence was around that same time.
And the last one is the Coen brothers were very interested in casting Holly Hunter as Abby in Blood Simple.
Nope.
No. Frances McDormand auditioned who ended up? She didn't get it. This led to long term work. Oh yeah, McDormand did get it. Cool. And then she married Joel Coen.
Yeah, she's weird.
Yeah. So good for her. But no, that actually was one of the funner lists.
All right.
Over on the DC thing, now these two things you didn't know. So as we get to say that Legends of Tomorrow, which is a show you and I both really enjoyed, and Batwoman, let's get that wrong, which you enjoyed more than I did, both canceled.
You didn't make it past season one.
I didn't.
Season two finds its way about halfway through, and then season three was solid all the way through for Batwoman.
Yeah, that's what you said. And it sucks that they didn't get picked up. As far as Legends goes, so according to co-showrunner Kito Shimizu, Booster Gold was intended to save Legends. So in a tweeted reply, someone asked something about Booster Gold, and he said, not at all. DC was in our corner trying to help our chances of renewal. They and WB wanted us to survive. We were asked for a new character to excite the audience and attract more viewers. We requested Booster, and DC finally agreed. It was all an attempt to save the show. Booster was always a plot element in the works since the launch of the show, but had been off limits, even though Rip Hunter was his son?
Yes.
I did not know that. How did I not know that?
Because they didn't reference it in the show.
That makes sense. Is that why he revealed his name was Michael at some point?
No, just it's because they didn't ever give name him Booster, and his name is John Michael.
Gotcha.
Carter is Booster Gold's name.
So that was their last ditch attempt to try and save Legends because they knew they were going to be on the block.
Yeah, and it was
I know.
It was set up so well, and Zach Braff was down to come in, and you would have had Booster Gold and Blue Beetle, which is one of the greatest pairings.
That would have been so good. Better than Smallville?
I mean, the comedic pairing of those two in comic books for the last 30-plus years has been fantastic. There's even a current series with the two of them right now, Blue and Gold.
Really?
That's back to their old comedic roots of the two of them. Where you even went through stretches where, like, the two of them ended up out of shape in the Justice League. And, like, Blue Beetle didn't fit into his outfit anymore because he was overweight and trying to pull it down over his gut before they went out to fight. Oh, it's so good.
It's hilarious. Supergirl Season 7, Jesse Raff said at the UK Ultimates convention, was actually pitched without Melissa. And the network was like, nah, we're good.
I mean, Season 6 didn't have Melissa in it, so that's fine. Right.
The original plan, he said, was a 13-episode 6 and a 10-episode 7 to finish off her contract. And they just mushed them together and made crap.
Yeah, it was awful. Their last season was... You didn't even watch it, did you?
No.
Yeah, the last season was horrible.
I looked at bits and pieces of it, and I read spoilers online, and I was like, yep, I'm good.
It was better than the... No, it wasn't better than The Flash. Flash is even better right now. And this last episode of Flash was very good.
I'm not up yet. I'm not up yet. That's my next... Good. Once I finish Ozark, I'm going to go... Do Superman and Flash. I'm going to back and forth the two of them.
Superman has been very solid. That's picked up. Those two shows are both picked up. Naomi's still on the bubble. They haven't made an announcement about Naomi yet.
Is Discovery killing the superhero shows, like, little by little?
I just don't think that. So here's my biggest issue with what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So the two shows that the CW kept from DC are the two shows with white guy leads. Legends of Tomorrow has LGBTQ leads.
Right.
And Sarah and Ava. And also the best representation of people of color that you'll find on most of TV. Because the entire cast is made up of a Hispanic lead, an African-American lead, the first Indian or Middle Eastern superhero on television. Mm. And another Middle Eastern as her brother. All of that cast, we're putting away. Can't have that. And then you bring in, what's his name from Scrubs? Donald Faison as well, right? So you cancel that show. Mm-hmm. The other show with an African American LGBTQ lead
gone.
You cancel it, which with a primarily cast of color. Same thing.
Yep. Gone.
You cancel that show. You keep Flash.
Right.
And you keep Superman about a white family.
It's weird.
It's not a good look for CW.
No,
it's Naomi also not. Cast of color. Great representation in that show. And I don't think that one's going to get picked up either.
That's a shame.
But you keep Riverdale for 6 years.
You said that Naomi show is pretty good.
It's starting to struggle because they're starting to get into the weeds. But I think season two will not be good of it. But season one has been pretty good so far.
The only Star Wars thing I have here is the Ahsoka show has officially started filming.
They
posted a picture of the chair with the Ahsoka, the director's chair, and Dave Filoni's black cowboy hat. He is writing, producing, and directing the show. No release date yet. I think it's going to be phenomenal.
It's great. Rosario Dawson is now 74 years old because they waited so goddamn long to start this thing.
Correct.
They filmed 17 seasons of Andor in between them while we're waiting on it.
And she's done 8 more Clerks movies.
Yeah.
Actually, he churns them out pretty fast. She may.
He can when he gets money to film stuff.
All right. This is the part of the show that everybody's been waiting for. We're going to start down here. So we missed the last two episodes of Moon Knight. This is I don't even know what the hell happened. If you haven't seen Moon Knight, the last two episodes, and at this point you should have.
We'll get to Dr. Trash momentarily, Jimmy.
We are definitely getting to Dr. Strange. Give us about 5 minutes. Not even 5 minutes. Moon Knight shouldn't take that long at all. Jack, what the hell happened with Moon Knight? What the
they
hell?
Forgot to put Moon Knight in their show is what happened with Moon Knight. As much as I don't like Oscar Isaac, which we have discussed on this show previously,
yes.
He was fantastic with what he was given and in the roles he played. I think we stated from the beginning, my big issue with the show was the way they decided to rewrite the characters, and you had to rewrite Stephen Grant because nobody has any idea what Moon Knight is. So you needed somebody to be the character that the audience came in through.
Dom's on the I love Moon Knight thing. So he might have some.
There you go.
Okay. This from Jimmy.
Yeah, the writing was just posted. Writer was just posting me at home, and happy was they literally cut all of Moon Knight scenes. Like, Moon Knight has been one of my favorite characters for a long time. I think the show did a good job with the story they told. It wasn't the story that I was expecting or the story that I wanted from Moon Knight, because I think it's such a fascinating character in a different way than right. They presented it. I don't think they had to... This is a newer thing with Moon Knight where they dig so far into the craziness of all the Egyptian stuff, where like Moon Knight should have been on the Defenders. I guarantee you there will be another season of Moon Knight.
Well, yeah, they've been conflicting about the Moon Knight.
But I don't know where it fits into Marvel's current plans, because the character doesn't work. Once you get Jake Lockley, which was the other disappointing part for me, like that character should have been in there, not just in snippets and like hidden scenes
right
from the beginning. That's one of the most fascinating characters. I think they made a movie and drug it out into 6 episodes, because I didn't need more than a 2.5-hour movie to tell the story that they told on this show. But you could have done all of this story part that they did in 2 or 3 episodes, and then given us some Moon Knight being Moon Knight and being a badass, and more of the conflict with Jake Lockley. Like, how does Steven and Mark deal with having that part of their personality, which is way more interesting than the other ones? They could set up Midnight Suns with it. I mean, it goes back to, again, Marvel's slow rolling so much stuff right now
and lying about other stuff,
and we won't hear about Moon Knight season 2 until they announce phase 5, which they've got to be close to doing. I mean, maybe we get it at it won't be San Diego Comic-Con. I don't know when D23 is this year, but we might get it then, because they have TV shows left they haven't announced, but we've had all of the movies announced.
D23 September 9th to 11th. So you might get it there.
Yeah, that like we need to know the next slate, right? Like, because we still don't even have a date for Blade.
Right.
So like, if they're setting up Midnight Suns, it's great, but it's going to be like 4 years.
I thought that the acting was sensational. The actors and the roles that they had. Ethan Hawke was outstanding. Oscar Isaac and the girl that I can't
remember. Oscar Isaac. Oh,
yes, and Oscar Isaac. The acting was superb. It was really enjoyable to watch the acting, but I I'm not as familiar with it, so I kind of like the end. I was just kind of like, okay, cool. I guess that's all right.
Yeah, it was self-contained, which is great. You know, it's except for the fact that like. Everybody that's a fan of Moon Knight, not from the show, knew about Jake Lockley already and was dying for him to come onto the show the whole time.
Right. I saw that a lot online.
And they just never delivered it.
No.
And then that nice Jewish character with the Irish name became a Spanish speaker. So I don't even know where they were going with that. I did see, though, that was an Oscar Isaac choice.
Oh, really?
And a lot of the idiosyncrasies of each of the personalities are ones that Oscar brought to the show himself.
I mean, they worked for what he was doing, and I enjoyed it. I didn't understand a lot of it, but I mean, I enjoyed the series. I you know, I didn't have the high expectations of this series going in, and they purposely, one of the other things I read was they purposely avoided, excuse me, all any other cameos. They had a couple of different cameos planned. They were going to bring in the one guy from the Eternals, the Bollywood guy. That one.
Oh,
they were going to bring him in, and there was another cameo at the end they were going to bring in, and they decided to just kind of like disconnect completely from everything else.
Yeah, which I get they're going to have to start doing some of that from a Marvel standpoint, but like,
well, if they're not using him really in anything else right now, it's fine.
Yeah, I think we'll see it as an announcement for Phase 5. That's why they're playing it so tight. You don't cast Oscar Isaac to do a single six-episode series.
It's not like you make a TV show a year and a half ago and you have to wait almost 2 years for the payoff of the TV show that wasn't even a payoff.
What?
Is that a good segue?
That is.
That's a good segue?
I'll take it.
All right. It's 7:50. So we're 50 minutes into the podcast. If you have not seen Doctor Strange this weekend, if you have not seen Doctor Strange at all at this point, we're about to blow it up. We're going to spoil it. We're going to talk about every nook and cranny, every little detail that we can think of. So this is I don't hate the movie. As Dom's throwing, I don't hate it. I gave it a 7.5 out of 10. That's what I gave it a rating of.
It's nice. It's kind.
What did you think of the movie? And we'll get to the comments we'll get to the comments. Jimmy, our friend Jimmy, gave it a 2 out of 10. He was lied to and betrayed.
So I'm interested though, Frank, before I give my take on it, that
yes,
as a non-horror fan.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who actively dislikes horror or avoids horror.
Right.
Let's put it that way.
Just not my thing.
That you gave it a 7.5 out of 10.
I didn't watch any of the Evil Dead movies. And if I did, it was so long ago. Maybe I saw the first one younger. It didn't feel like a horror movie to me. There was gore. There was definitely gore. And it was a little more gore than a normal Marvel movie. But I guess the gore is typical for a Sam Raimi movie, right?
Yeah, I heard it described today, which I really liked, is that it was this was a horror movie, the same way Guardians of the Galaxy and Thor Ragnarok were a comedy.
Right.
So like it wasn't a horror movie.
No.
It was a Marvel movie that had elements of it, right?
But it was
more a slasher,
a little bit
campy horror movie,
way more campy. It was advertised as Marvel's first horror movie, was it not?
It was also advertised. There was a lot of things it was advertised as that it wasn't. If you read the IMDb description, which let's see if they've changed that yet.
Yes, because I'm curious to hear what you. While you look for that, Dylan loved the movie. He said it felt like Evil Dead combined with a Marvel film. It wasn't typical cookie cutter Marvel movie. I get that. Dom is still poking at a friend of ours. Her name's Jasmine. She originally thought that this movie was going to be way better than No Way Home, and has been giving Dom crap for it privately and on Facebook.
So the plot summary on IMDb still. Dr. Stephen Strange casts a forbidden spell that opens the doorway to the multiverse, including alternate versions of himself whose threat to humanity is too great for the combined forces of Strange, Wong, and Wanda Maximoff. So that I would consider that a bit of a bait and switch.
That's a huge bait. What did you think before we go into the nuts and bolts of it? You got my review on it. Well,
so I am a huge fan of Sam Raimi,
right?
Of the Evil Dead series, of Army of Darkness, of the Evil Dead TV show. I just pre-ordered the Evil Dead game coming out on PS5.
Oh my God.
Like, huge fan of that stuff.
Must be nice to have the PS5.
Hotstock.com. It's an app. Get Hotstock.
I have it.
Do it.
That's how I got, I told Ray that, and that's how Ray got his. Continue to.
So I thought it was a really good Sam Raimi movie. I thought it was a shitty Marvel movie. Because it felt to me the same way a lot of the TV shows have felt, where I'm no farther along in the Marvel story, which is what was great about the first three phases, is there was a Marvel story that continued to move forward. Uh-huh. I'm no further along in that than I was before. And if I hadn't watched WandaVision, which I also wasn't a huge fan of, there was great acting in WandaVision, not a huge fan of the story for it. I would have no idea what the fuck was going on. Right? Like, because if you didn't watch WandaVision, where you left Wanda was, wow.
Wow. Go ahead. You can.
That's rough, Jimmy. It was a shitty DC movie by comparison. That's shitty. That's true. Like, look, New Mutants was a better horror movie than this as far as horror movies go.
Right. I definitely think there was a lot of build up. There was a lot of expectation in this. You had the whole, oh, that's Tom Cruise. Oh, this person's going to be in it. That person's going to be in it. We'll take a moment and they gave you the Illuminati of, okay, wait, so I'm not even going to get there. Hold on. First of all, the movie title, I did not hate this movie. I would see this movie again. I really would. But the title of the movie, The Multiverse of Madness, we got three universes. I'm not counting. I'm not counting the 22 universes that they fell through. That there's a list of all 22 universes that they fell through.
You got four.
Four? So you have our prime.
Yeah.
Right. Then you have
the one. The one in his dream where America and Doctor Strange were there fighting.
Okay, that's that one. And then you got the one with that we're going to talk about the cameos
with
the
Pizza Illuminati. Papa.
Right.
And then you have
I'm not being diplomatic. I didn't think it was trash. I just thought it was very it was very misleading that you thought that there were going to be all these jumps into different multiverses and you were going to get all these glimpses.
Or at least brought them in or combined or something.
And he cast this spell that already started these incursions, right?
We made this promise of a great Doctor Strange movie into a shitty love story,
right? But
which they just can't get off in Marvel. Like I don't need it.
It's so okay. So you didn't get all the multiverses you assumed you were going to get. I enjoyed more than anything the Illuminati cameos for what they were, but I'm worried at the same time. So if you're not familiar with it, when we were talking about Star Trek earlier, our Star Trek connection, my Star Trek connection, is you have Patrick Stewart in the X-Men 97 cartoon hover chair,
which
as Professor Xavier.
The nod to the 90s theme song when he came out was awesome.
It was. And the fact that he did the whole thing like the guy from the cartoon, that all was great.
He didn't know that he was doing any of that. He didn't even know where he was.
He didn't know where he was. He was still filming.
Picard. I've never seen him look older than when they had him in the dreamscape try and get out of the chair.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know if he can walk that far.
Can he get out of that chair?
Oh, he's going to pull her out of the hole. Good luck.
Yeah. Black Bolt was a callback. Well, is a callback. He's the king of the Inhumans, right?
From the Inhumans TV show.
That didn't work. That didn't last more than a half a season.
No, it was a mini series. It was a maxi series of six episodes. It lasted as long as it was supposed to.
But they were like quickly like, okay, let's just sweep this under the rug.
Well, it wasn't good.
No, that's what I heard.
But it had Lockjaw, which was awesome.
Right. And that he was played by Anson Mount, who also plays Captain Christopher Pike in A Strange New World. Mm-hmm. Awesome. You had Captain Marvel played by Monica Rambeau. Yes. I thought she was great.
By the new James Bond, maybe?
Could be the new James Bond. And then you had the one casting that I had hoped for all along.
Haley Atwell?
You got Haley Atwell as Captain Carter.
Yeah, that's what you've been waiting for.
That's the one. The Reed Richards casting was perfect for me. John Krasinski, Jim Halpert as Reed Richards was great. My only fear is that was it. Like, that's all you're getting him there Now, are they not going to cast him when they finally bring the Fantastic Four, if they ever find a director? Like, he's old too.
He's not.
He's old?
No. He's younger than you think.
You're gonna be
upset when you see how old John Krasinski is.
I probably am. He's 42. That's old.
That's not. That's not for old. Reed Richards.
Well, no, not for Reed Richards.
He just has to be bendy. You just have to stand there like this, and they make everything happen.
Right. He didn't even get to do that, really. Like, that's another. He did for a second, but like, yes, and you had the Captain Carter. I can do this all day. Was great. I did love that. I love that throwback. I understood why they killed the Illuminati like that. You had to establish Scarlet Witch as this ultimate badass threat. And
through her dreamwalking.
Through her dreamwalking.
To regular housewife Scarlet Witch. That made zero sense.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. America Chavez visited 72 universes, I think she said.
Something like that, yeah.
Okay. In every single one of those universes, there's no Vision, and she's a single mom in every single universe. There isn't even a human version of Vision, like nothing. Like, that's how, is that how that works?
Well, where'd she get the kids?
Well, that's also it. Where the hell
is there her and Vision's
from?
Kids? It's they're trying to talk around that now, which is horrible the way they're doing it. Like, I mean, I don't think they could have kept the Vision, you know, if they would have cast him, but like.
He's too busy doing cocaine with John.
But he flew off. Like, there is a Vision.
Yes, the white Vision.
In the world, there's a Vision. Right. And they just left that hanging. Just unless that's going to come back. Like, unless that comes back and Agatha brings her back.
Well, that's a series that's coming out soon, too. So are
right,
they saving that?
Now they're advertising
that
on Disney Plus.
And the other big problem I had, beside being lied to and overhyped and whatnot, was the Darkhold. We who loved or who enjoyed Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they had a version of the Darkhold that couldn't be destroyed unless they took it to hell with Ghost Rider. Right. This Darkhold, just punch it with a dagger and it's gone.
Well, that's because it wasn't the real Darkhold.
But still.
Well, even with that, like, Wong has to be the lamest Sorcerer Supreme.
Yeah, he's only the Sorcerer Supreme because Stephen Strange. I've seen articles like, why is he still the Sorcerer Supreme? Because Doctor Strange was gone for 5 years and he's more powerful.
But why did it go to him to begin with and not Baron Mordo?
Because Mordo disappeared, right? Nobody knows where Mordo is.
But that was the promise at the end of the first Doctor Strange, which was so awesome.
Yes.
I mean, he killed Jimmy Smits for nothing.
Right.
And set it up, you know, like, look, this is where we're going to get. Not Jimmy Smits.
Not Jimmy. See Thomas Cowell.
No. Damn it. He was just in that DMZ show. Somebody, the chat, where'd you guys go?
Nobody's there yet with it.
No. Anyway.
I'll find it. I know who you're talking about, and I'll find it.
Yeah. So, anyway, it was.
Benjamin Bratt.
So you,
I was close.
You set up this great villain, and then you ignore him this whole show, except for you bring in his multiverse piece, which is like, whatever. Like, I don't care. My problem with the multiverse thing is like, none of it matters.
Yeah.
None of this had anything to do with Loki.
Nope. Who was advertised on the IMDb page to be in this movie?
It's like none of the Kang stuff matters.
Nope.
None of this related to anything except for WandaVision. Now, this was supposed to come out right after WandaVision.
Right, which would have made sense.
Right.
Which is that, but they reshot a lot of this movie.
But the problem with everything with Phase 4 right now, one, it's all out of order, and clearly none of it's connected because they don't give a shit when they move movies around.
No.
Because we didn't even talk about it. They moved Quantumania and the Marvels. They flipped them. So that's fine. But that means more disconnected storytelling.
Right. So
which makes me nervous for what we're doing with Phase 4, because Phase 1, 2, and 3 were so interconnected, and you got even the stories that weren't, you just had the cutscene, but like, I didn't care. But now you're trying to tell me stories of the same characters again. And you're not going to tie it together.
No.
Which just doesn't really make sense to me. And so, I mean, if you look at phase four so far, we've had Black Widow.
Right. Which doesn't connect. I mean,
whatever.
Yeah.
You had the Eternals.
Right. Which,
whatever was to set up Harry Styles coming in.
Woo.
Yeah. But that movie, if they do anything with those characters, is going to be unsustainable because the cost of that cast is going to be astronomical.
Yep.
Then what do we have? Spider-Man, which was great.
It's great. Right? Loved
it. But where do you go from there?
Right.
We don't have one of those on the roadmap now. Maybe we do, but you don't have a director, unless that's why he bailed on Fantastic Four to do Spider-Man 4. Possible.
Possible.
Who knows?
Possible.
And that because Sony cranks those out every 2 years. So, right. Like, we should get a Spider-Man probably, like, right after Captain Marvel. The Marvels next year.
We should.
So
but everybody's taking breaks from acting. Like Benedict Cumberbatch said, he's taking a break from acting for a little while.
But he gets to make out with Charlize Theron. Why would he? Never mind. That was the best part of the movie.
So before I go to these two things that I have on the side,
I was waiting for Clea the entire movie.
So Clea is, if you want to explain, because I didn't know who Clea was.
So she's the niece of Dormammu in the comics.
The bad guy from the first one.
Because Dormammu in the comics is not just a big head. He's like a character. But she's from a dark dimension. She's another sorceress. And she ends up being the love interest of Strange, which is way more interesting than Christine.
Right.
Like, I don't know if Christine has like chocolate flavored nipples or what the deal is with her. Wrong movie. I know.
Yes.
But,
a little bit,
but yeah, like, I don't know. I don't know what the deal is with her and like why they're that tight, because I never got that. I didn't even get that in the What If series. Like, why is he so hung up on this? Like, why are you creating? There's this character with all this complexity and all these paths you can go with dark magic and magic and like being possessed and things like that. And you just got to make it this sappy love story all the time. It's so lame. The music fight was cool.
The music fight was awesome.
I want to see that again with the different notes and the music that went behind it and everything.
It was Bach and Chopin, I believe I read.
Yeah, but like that was super cool.
Yeah, no, there was, look, don't get me wrong. There was a lot of really cool stuff in the movie. But at the same time, I felt like, hey, this is what the movie's going to be. Hey, this is what the movie is. This is what we're showing you.
Oh, and for you that didn't know, we were talking before the show. So the Bruce Campbell.
Yes. Yes, please.
Pizza Papa. So when he's beating the crap out of himself, and he says he's going to do that for 3 weeks. So in The Evil Dead, if you know at the character Ash, correct?
Yes.
So Ash has a chainsaw for one hand.
Yes.
Because his hand was possessed in the first Evil Dead.
Gotcha.
By the Necronomicon. And so he was beating the crap out of himself with his hand. And he ended up cutting his hand off to get rid of the possession.
That makes sense now.
So that's why that joke was in there. And it was a good joke.
It was. Now that it makes sense to me, yes. I mean, I laughed anyway, but...
Yeah, but even at the end where he was like, finally, it's, and that plays all the way back to The Evil Dead. The first Evil Dead movie that was Sam Raimi's first movie and Bruce Campbell's first movie right out of college back in 81.
Okay.
Because they were college buddies.
Gotcha. So real fast, I'll run through these last few things here. This says that these are the 8 movies that were possibly set up by Doctor Strange. Okay, I definitely get at least 2. Young Avengers. They haven't actually come out and said it, but it seems like they're kind of setting it up in the background a little bit with Florence Pugh and with America Chavez and
Kate Bishop
and possibly Billy and whatever his name is.
Wiccan and the other one, yeah.
Right. Fantastic Four. Obviously,
I don't see that as being set up by this.
It's not so much set up, but you're introducing Reed Richards finally into the Marvel universe, which you weren't able to do before.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and
and
Professor X, which you weren't able to do before.
Correct. The Marvels, kind of, maybe not really. I mean, I guess it's just keeping it in your mind that it's coming.
No, because she's dead.
She is.
In our reality, she had cancer and passed away. Her daughter might be the new.
She's the daughter might. Well, from WandaVision, yeah.
Yeah.
They could be possibly setting up an Inhumans movie or Black Bolt.
No, they're definitely not setting up. they're definitely going to forget about the Inhumans as fast as possible. They did the Inhumans series because they didn't have X-Men.
Captain Carter, possibly, do you think?
I think Haley Atwell will continue to pop up and stuff.
That's good.
And thank God she's no longer with Tom Cruise. So,
oh, did they break up finally?
Yes, yes.
Oh, that's good.
He's with somebody else now.
An X-Men sequel / Professor X solo film. Patrick Stewart has expressed interest in coming back.
He's 750 years old.
He isn't.
Leave.
Old
let the man just do his thing.
Let him do his last. Let
it
him
doesn't
do,
involve being Professor X.
Let him do his last scene. Bring friggin' what's his name? James McAvoy.
Yeah. Young right, dude. So, plenty of time left.
So here. So Patrick Stewart is 81 years old. By the time they get an X-Men movie out, he's going to be close to 90.
At the rate they're going?
Yes. Let's see. This says Avengers 5. I don't think you're going to really see an Avengers 5. They're getting away from that. And Feige already said that they're kind of getting away from that big ensemble movie like Avengers.
Clearly, because they were going to have one Doctor Strange and they didn't. They decided no.
And then Doctor Strange 3, which obviously because.
Which totally is anti the promise of Doctor Strange 1.
Right.
Which was such a cool concept of Baron Mordo going around killing all the magic users.
And that's really,
yeah, the references. So even the, just to quote, talk about Dylan with the Drag Me to Hell references, all of the one thing that kept taking me out of it is the animation and the, like the zombie animation and the souls at the end were so poorly animated that they were legit. They looked like this stick figure claymation that they did and stop motion that they did in Army of Darkness in like 88.
Wow.
Like, it was bad. Those the souls that were carrying him around at the end.
Yeah.
It was horrible stop motion.
Yeah.
For a Marvel movie. Like they yeah. It took me out of it. It was so bad, the effects.
Yeah.
And the zombie thing was fine, but I felt like that we were watching Hocus Pocus.
the last thing I'm gonna run through are the 10 biggest spoilers from the movie that they say. Scarlet Witch being the biggest villain. I mean, it's not so much as a spoiler, more of kind of like, oh, you know, I figured she would be too.
No, that was such a waste of a character. Like, he had so much room.
I don't think she's dead. That's one of the spoilers here is that all versions, all multiversal versions, all
multiversal
versions
there you go.
Of the Darkhold are supposedly destroyed.
Right.
I don't think she's dead either. I don't think she's dead. I just don't. America Chavez doesn't seem to have a doppelganger.
Right. But I think that's true to the comics.
Right. Doctor Strange has a third eye after using the Darkhold. Jack, we got that. The Illuminati are all murdered by the Scarlet Witch. I read an article about that they did that just to prove how powerful she was. Yes, dreamwalking.
And to burn through those characters so that none of them mattered.
Right.
Like, what happens to that reality now?
Well, in Earth, that reality's Doctor Strange was killed by the Illuminati. That was a pretty interesting scene.
Right, because he was going to go yep. bad. So who's left now? It's just Sue Storm trying to raise Franklin? It's messed up.
Maybe.
Sue Richards? Sorry.
Ben Grimm's around, right?
Maybe not.
Michael Chiklis?
Maybe Thanos killed him. We don't know.
It's possible. This says Scarlet Witch topples the Darkhold Temple and dies. And when I glanced at it real fast, I thought it said Scarlet Witch topless. And I was like, wait, hold on. Let me go back.
No, you got it. That's Mr. Skin. You got to search for that.
Yes. Yeah, all versions of the Darkhold and the multiverse are destroyed. I mean, I don't know.
I think they intimated that in it that, you know, that was the way it was going to go, which is maybe.
Well, then good. Let it be destroyed and then let Ghost Rider bring it back from hell.
But like, I'm more wondering, like, so the Book of Ashanti doesn't do shit. Is that what we're going with?
I don't know.
Like, that was a MacGuffin. We're going to get the Book of Ashanti. Oh, it didn't work. Okay.
It didn't work. Great. No, we're not. But I mean, you know, that's all I got on Doctor Strange I did enjoy the movie. I really did. I enjoyed the movie.
Well, you gave it a really good score.
I did. It looks like I hated the movie. It sounds like I hated the movie, but I didn't. I enjoyed the movie.
I don't. So the way I'm starting to look at these Marvel movies is like, if they were on TV, would I watch them?
Yes. This one I would. If it was on TV, I would.
I don't know that I would. Because like, there's it's so disconnected. It's, as it goes through, like the thing with the Sony movies, as bad as they are, like the Venoms and the like that stuff, it's awesome when it's just on TBS.
Right. I mean, I won't go back and watch the Batman movie on HBO, even though I love the movie. I thought it was I thought it was the best Batman movie that I've ever seen. But I won't go back and watch it because it's so long.
Oh yeah, no way. I'm digging on that.
But if this is on, I'll absolutely pop it on. And leave it all while I'm doing, something over here or something over there. I'd watch that on a Sunday afternoon on TBS if there's nothing else going on.
All right. I'm not sure that I would with this one. I'll have to see it again.
Yeah. I mean, I get that AMC 3 movies a week for free, so I can use one on that.
There you go.
Yeah.
See if you go higher or lower.
I don't know. So you're off next week, right?
I am. I think you'll have a special guest, though.
I will. I'm going to find someone to pop in and hang out with me.
Awesome.
Or maybe two or three or whatever, and we'll just do some bullshitting.
You can even do a deeper dive into.
I think I might pop reach out to Dom and get him to come over and talk some stuff next week. That's why I didn't. It's why I didn't grab him for tonight, because next week maybe
makes sense.
And then I could start my Friday Night Lights rewatch podcast next week.
Oh, dear God. Without you. Yes, do that.
You got anything else coming up this week?
I don't. It's a quiet week because I'm getting ready to go back out of town. And then I'm back the 22nd. I'll be in Manioc at Bernie's Manioc for Sunday brunch.
Oh, there you go.
So you can stop out there. You can find us anywhere you find your podcast, too. If you wanted to listen to this on the go without the video while you're driving, tell a friend. Drop us that 5-star rating, give us a review, all those good things. And thanks as always for finding the Geek Spot.
Thank you, guys. See you later.